This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
To be able to hear a solar eclipse. Well, are you intrigued? I certainly am. And now on RNIB Connect Radio, it's time to find out more about how you can hear a solar eclipse. Joining me from Harvard University is astronomer Alison Barilla. Alison, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about the light sound device. What is it and how did it come about?
The light sound device was developed in 2017. It's basically a sonification tool. And by sonification, I mean it takes sonification is essentially taking data and converting it to sound. So in this case, it's taking light and converting it to sound. So we developed this in 2017 in preparation for the Great American Solar Eclipse that went through North America. So this device is essentially, we developed it with the blind and low vision community in mind. So it's a way to observe a solar eclipse with sound by taking data and measuring the intensity of light. And as the light dims, the light sensor is measuring that and it converts it to a sound and its output. So you can hear it changing in the tone.
So when it comes to the sound interpretations, how was that decided as to how the sound scheme will work?
The way we chose to do it was the brightest light gets mapped to a flute sound. And then when it gets to a mid-range, it goes to something like a clarinet. And then the lowest sound, something you'd experience during like totality, goes to kind of a low clicking sound. So all of that can be changed in the code if you prefer different instruments. But that's kind of how we mapped it. And our thought process was, you know, the brighter light maps to like a, you know, a higher pitch kind of instrument like a flute. And then during totality, which is something like the brightness of a full moon, there's this huge dynamic range from bright sunlight to totality, which is something like the brightness of a full moon. So we wanted, and we didn't want to take away from that, you know, dramatic dimming essentially of light. And, you know, so you have this dramatic change in sound as well when you get very close to totality. And so the low clicking basically doesn't detract from everything else that's going on, which is, you know, sometimes if you're in a crowd, people are cheering or clapping or crying. Just it's a very emotional experience. Sometimes you hear changes in animal behavior. So the clicking is meant to kind of let you know that the light has really dimmed, but not take away from everything else that's going on as well.
So let's talk about what happens on the day of a solar eclipse. What does the user have to do with the device in order to be able to hear the solar eclipse?
Yeah, so these devices are really straightforward to use. Basically, there's an on-off switch and then an audio jack. So the audio jack can be connected to a headphone, for instance. So if an individual wants to have kind of a personal experience with the device and on their own on the day of eclipse, some people, you know, may prefer to sit on a hill and watch the eclipse. You know, a user may prefer to, you know, sit there and listen as well. So it gives an opportunity to kind of observe the eclipse with sound individually. But another way that many, many groups are using the device would be to plug in the audio jack to a speaker. So, you know, you may attend like a large event for an eclipse. And so a lot of groups are having kind of like what we've been calling like sound sections. So, you know, it's within the larger group, but it's off to the side. And so you can kind of go there and experience the eclipse with sound in these groups with other people and have that kind of shared experience, if you will. One other way that I thought was pretty clever that I went to the Albuquerque, New Mexico for the October 2023 annular eclipse that just happened. And some people there had some light sound devices. And what they did was they put in a Bluetooth adapter into the audio jack. And then what you could do is you could connect multiple Bluetooth headphones to the light sound device. So several people at one time can be listening to the same device. It's a really cool way to be able to, still have it not be projecting sound, but having a group experience. And it's kind of a neat idea for kind of a teaching tool or something like that, where you can kind of be able to explain what's going on with the sound, something like that.
So, do you have to be outside for this device to work?
The devices work with light. So any change in light, you'll hear a change in sound. The device is pretty sensitive, so you can certainly, we use it as a demonstration tool before eclipses, with just light bulbs or flashlights on your phone. So it doesn't, you don't have to be outside, but if you're observing the solar eclipse, it needs to be able to measure the sunlight. So essentially, like if you were inside and had a window, you could put it, I've actually, seen and heard experiences of people that just put them in their windowsill. Their eclipses happen all times a year. Sometimes it's really cold outside. So yeah, you can absolutely put it inside a house. You don't have to be outdoors. It's just going to measure the change in brightness of whatever you're measuring.
When it comes to the availability of light sound, is this available to purchase for people anywhere in the world, or is there a limitation to only US customers?
Yeah, so this project is completely open source, meaning that all of our documentation, all of our code, everything you need to like build a device, for instance, would be online. We have instructions in English, Spanish, and French currently, because those are the eclipses that we mostly interacted with. So anybody, and we even have 3D printed cases. Anything you need is online. So if a person or a group is interested in building these devices, they can go on our website and get all that information and build one or many of them. We also are funded through the National Science Foundation, through the Simons Foundation, and through the International Astronomical Union to build about 750 of these devices. And we're donating them at no cost to people that make requests. And that is worldwide. We have devices in Mexico and Canada and United States. There's a few outside of those locations, but right now we're targeting, the eclipse that's happening. But absolutely, people around the world can make requests, and we're really starting to think about what we're going to do, after this eclipse. We can't think about it too much because we have so much to do right now. We're building over 750 of these devices. So, but eclipses happen all over the world, and they keep happening. So what we'll probably do is after this eclipse, we're gonna, we reuse these devices. So we'll request that, those that aren't going to use these for education or tool, like a teaching tool or an outreach tool, to return them to us, and then we'll keep redonating these devices.
If people were interested in requesting the light sound device or even getting the open source information to try and build one themselves, where can they go to do that?
On our website, it's astrolab.fas.harvard.edu/lightsound, .html.
Well, that sounds intriguing. If you want to try that, then feel free to go to the website if you fancy getting a unique experience of a solar eclipse. But for now, Alison Barilla, astronomer at Harvard University, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.